So in today's budget, I am announcing an increase in employers' national insurance contributions. We will increase the rate of employers' national insurance by 1.2 percentage points to 15% from April 2025.
Hello and welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast, as always, for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. We are now this afternoon live reacting to the budget. This is the first budget of the new Labour government, one that's been trailed for quite a long time. Lots of details have come out ahead of time, but I don't think any of us quite imagined how much of an impact this would have on our sector. It's quite a big budget for us. And I'm joined to go through it by our Chief Executive, James Lohman. Hi, James.
Hi, Chris.
So one of the questions that we ask all the time about budgets and statements and all the fiscal events that we've been going through the last years are kind of good, bad, indifferent. And the theme tends to be that governments give with one hand and take with the other to leave us kind of in a net sort of level position. How do you feel about this budget overall?
I mean, it's a really good question. This is a very sort of consequential budget. It's one of the more important budgets, first one of a new government, Labour's first budget for, 14 years or more. And I mean, knew there were going to be lots of, you know, there's going to be a lot in it. So I think this has been anticipated probably more than most budgets. I think it's also worth saying it's set in context, as they always are. So we'll talk about the specific measures in the budget today. But then last night, we had the announcement of the National Living Wage Rate for next year. And actually, most of the conversations I have with retailers are about the impact of that measure more so than they are about the budget measures, which obviously some of which relate to that. You've then got the legislation on things like vaping, which is something front and centre in retailers' minds, and legislation on employment rights, which is something we're all thinking about a lot as well, and obviously lots of other policy issues as well. So I think we talk about the budget, but at the moment, if I sat around the table with six retailers, we start talking about the budget, and I'm sure we'd all go off into talking about those other things as well, because they all feel related in terms of what is the government doing, what are the relevant policies for our members and our sector, and how's this all shaking out. So it's hard to purely separate out the budget issues, but we will try to do that. And I think it is a case of there are some important mitigations there we'll get into. There are also some significant extra costs. And I think the key thing is there are some types of convenience stores who are going to be very adversely affected by what's been announced in the budget. And there are some for whom those mitigations will go quite a long way or even all the way to reducing that impact.
Yeah, absolutely right. So let's get into some of that detail then. And the first is probably the most significant cost increase based on everything we've been looking at, all the calculations that we're looking at for all different types of retailers. And that's the increase in the national living wage to £12.21 per hour in April 2025. And then the national minimum wage rate, or the younger person's rate for 18 to 20 year olds, going up to £10 an hour. And that's part of the government's ambition to have essentially one adult rate in the future. They're getting closer to that and bridging the gap between those two rates. So expect more of that gap closing in years to come. And alongside that, if we stick on employment, we've had employers' national insurance contributions, you heard right at the start there from Rachel Reeves, going from 13.8% to 15%, and the threshold going from £175 a week down to just over £95 a week. To combat that, if you're still following us, the employment allowance, which previously was £5,000 a year, has been increased to £10,500 per year. And so the upshot of all of that is essentially, if you are quite a small store, so if you've got 9 or 10 employees, you employ them for a variety of hours, some full-time, some part-time, and you're employing them at around national living wage, all of those measures combined kind of put your employer's national insurance threshold at roughly what it is now. How clever do you think the government has been in setting that employment allowance number at 10,500? Because it feels like for everyone in the old kind of micro business definition of up to 10 employees, that's what that's aimed at. And obviously the bigger you get, the more impact there is. But it seems like they're trying to protect the smallest businesses through this.
think that's right, and I never, quite know whether you can sort of credit government with that sort of level of granularity of thinking and who's going to be impacted. I mean, obviously, there are lots of different sectors going to be impacted, not just ours. But it does kind of quite neatly come out there, doesn't it, in terms of the winners and losers. So, if you are a very small convenience store business, which is a very large chunk of the stores in our sector, then you may not be particularly adversely impacted. You may even be a net winner from this. But I think it is that when you get up to the stores, when you've got 2, 3, 4 stores and certainly above that, and when you get to the larger chains, a really significant impact here, a really significant impact on those businesses, because that £10,500 employment allowance doesn't touch the sides in terms of trying to mitigate the impact when you've got lots of stores and lots of employees. And, I think there's an in principle concern about hiking national insurance contributions. I don't want to necessarily, over-politicise this, but there's been this slightly frustrating conversation about what constitutes a working person and so on. But, I would contend that the people who run convenience stores are the ultimate working people. I mean, they work arguably harder than any other sector in the economy. And by and large, the people I work with in this job and worked with for a very long time in this job, these are people who've got there through graft. Nothing's been given to them or gifted to them. They have often put their houses on the line to open their stores, to invest in their businesses. They've taken risks. And I'm not attributing this as the necessarily where the government sees this, but there is a little bit of a sense that effort, that risk-taking, that entrepreneurialism is seen as having less value than being employed, as you and I are, Chris. We're employed people, but our members for the most part are entrepreneurs who have invested that and taken those risks. And I do think there's a little bit in here about recognizing that value when it comes to trying to access more money for the public purse, that they've so quickly landed on employers' national insurance contributions as a kind of what this is a pain-free way to do that. So I think in principle there's a problem there. In terms of the way that it's been designed, it has been designed, I think, to protect the smallest businesses, including in our sector. The bigger businesses in our sector will be very concerned, and there's no way of sugaring that, is there?
No, I think that's right. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen next year in terms of what retailers are doing, because obviously there's an overall margin that retailers try and work to make sure that the business does okay and can keep doing what it's doing. And we know that this government is obsessed rightly about keeping inflation to target, keeping interest rates low. Do you think that these measures will increase costs in stores? Do you think they'll reduce investment? Do you think they will have an impact that rises inflation? And that in itself is the opposite of what the government wants.
Yeah, I think it might. I think it might push through in some price increases. Now, obviously, price is determined by a whole range of factors, but clearly the costs of the businesses operating rise up the supply chain. And of course, you've got to remember, living wage increases, national insurance increases, they will affect production facilities, wholesalers, distributors, transport companies, primary producers as well. So all those costs will compound in the supply chain and come down. And yeah, I think that probably will end up passing onto consumers and have some sort of impact on inflation. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, yeah. So lots to work out on employment costs, but there were some other things in the budget as well that are certainly worth getting into. There's been a lot of talk over the last few years about business rates and changing business rates. What we've got for now is a reduction in the reliefs that retailers are getting from 75%, which it is currently, to 40% relief in April 2025. Now, for big businesses, it's kind of the opposite, in that big businesses will be already claiming the maximum 110,000 in their reliefs, and will still be doing so when those reliefs reduce. But for small businesses or kind of the medium sized businesses, this is an additional chunk of money that they're going to have to find next year.
Yeah, it's a classic half full, half empty, isn't it? We've had, just to remind people the history of this, it goes back to COVID, and retail, hospitality and leisure businesses were given full business rate relief for the period of time through the pandemic. And that was very, you know, we made a point of thanking the government for that and recognising that was a very significant element of support, along with some other support that they gave. That has then been started to unwind and is now at 75%. And it was a real question for us before the budget, you know, what would they do? Would they get rid of it? Would they reduce it to, say, 50% or 25%? And they've kind of got between that and they've effectively halved it. So that the we're getting about half the relief we had before. And I think it depends how you view that. My advice to retailers would have been heading into the 25 to 26 tax year to assume that they would not retain 75% retail hospitality leisure relief. I think that was unlikely they would do that. So I think hanging on to a good chunk of it is actually not the worst outcome. But what really matters is this. Alongside the budget, the government have published a consultation on business rates reform. Now, you know, experienced listeners to this podcast and recipients of ACS activity will have heard those words quite a lot, because the government's always consulting on business rates reform. But it does seem that this time they are looking to move towards some sort of outcomes fairly quickly, including a different way of treating retail, hospitality, leisure businesses on a permanent basis in terms of different multipliers in the system and different approaches to support them, and to pay for that by charging more to the very high rateable value premises, over £500,000 rateable value. So those are very, very big businesses. So I think that potentially is a signpost towards a more equitable system. I'm not saying we're perfect, but a more equitable system. And on that basis, I am viewing this as glass half full rather than glass half empty, which is not to ignore the fact that there'll be some increased business rates bills that retailers will be facing as that business rate relief starts to unwind. And that's just my opinion. I'd be very interested to hear retailers' views on that. And you may persuade me to think differently about it. But with those two things combined, I think this has been a step forward in terms of business rates policy today, albeit, you know, I wish we weren't having to pay quite a lot more in some cases from April onwards.
And do you think that's a way of getting the online warehouses to pay their fair share? I mean, I would imagine that the biggest warehouses, the Amazon warehouses, will be those buildings that have the highest rateable values, or is that not the case?
Hey, it's a very interesting question. It's a question I've already raised with the Treasury, Chris, and we'll see how the consultation unfolds on this. But what I think the policy is, or what's suggested in the consultation, is that it would be sector agnostic. So it's not about trying to target one sector or another. It's trying to target premises that are over £500,000 of rateable value, so in whatever sector they were in. So that might include some hospitality businesses. I don't know what the Ritz's rateable value is. We could probably look it up, couldn't we? But it's probably quite chunky. So I think that it's, at the moment, it's not designed to tackle one particular sector, but those very high rateable value premises. And this is important to us because it's through that they can then fund the lower multipliers for businesses like the ones we represent.
Yes, because of course, as listeners to the podcast will know, business rates is a zero-sum game. We talked at the start about the budget taking with one hand and giving with the other. Business rates is very much the same. It stays pretty straightforward year to year, and so they just work within the margins on that. Yeah. Some other things to pick up on in the budget, and then we'll summarise a little bit. So fuel duty, Rachel Reeves did the bit of a bait and switch and talking about fuel duty going up and the 5p cut being scrapped, but then decided to extend it for another year. So fuel duty, no changes on that front. We've got a flat rate levy coming in on vaping liquids from October 2026 at £2.20 per 10 mil of liquid. And that's not something that we're necessarily surprised about. It was trailed by the previous government. It's been talked about for a while. So we were expecting that to come in. And one thing I'm really interested in getting thoughts on is this, not sort of reasonably unspecific, but commitment to tackle shop theft and additional funding directing tackling organised gangs. Now, this is something we've been working with the Home Office on, working with police and crime commissioners, working with people in the police force on for a number of years. And we've been banging the drum on this in the media, with government, with officials. It sounds like government are listening. Do you think this is an important step forward?
I mean, again, just as I was saying about you know, business rates consultations being, you know, the gift that keeps on giving, really. You know, we keep playing it on loop a little bit. So it is with initiatives and commitments to tackle shop theft and retail crime, or, albeit this is a much more visceral and you know, personal issue for our sector. And so, you know, of course, I'm encouraged by the fact that a chancellor has stood up and chosen to talk about shop theft and retail crime and to commit to action to tackle it. That has to be good news. But I think retailers will be saying, well, you know, show us the action. And I think retailers are a little bit sick of rhetoric on this. I think what they want is that they report crime and it's dealt with quickly and that it's investigated and that prolific repeat offenders are identified and are taken to court, or through other means, there are effective penalties and interventions that mean that those people come out of the cycle of reoffending. I think everyone knows what the approaches or the answers are. It's just hard to deliver. And, you know, what doesn't deliver it is saying stuff in Parliament. What delivers it is resources and commitment from the police and politicians to make sure it happens. So, you know, I have to be sceptical until I see action. But of course, it's good news. A chancellor has said that from the dispatch box on budget day. Of course it is.
Yeah. But ultimately, it's police, not policy, isn't it?
Correct. Absolutely. That's a good one. That would you say that more, Chris? Yeah, absolutely.
I'll note it down along with looking up the RITS is Rateful Value, which I'll do immediately.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of business to do list than that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the final thoughts, really, and it's not necessarily about what's been announced today, because you know, there is a huge amount of stuff to go through. There's some costs on both sides of things. But what's not been discussed is kind of the other stuff that retailers have to deal with. And the hint that's it about the levy on vaping liquids. We've got a disposables ban coming in at the start of June. We've got deposit return schemes. We've got changes to recycling. We've got all these other things that retailers are going to have to do, all of which will have a cost. And we're talking about this a lot towards the end of this year in terms of the cost of doing business and the cost of trading. If I were to put stores into a kind of green, amber or red zone next year with all the changes that are coming into place, how far do we think we're going into kind of an amber for stores and saying, look, this is going to be really tough to invest this year because of the, you know, the vaping changes, because of preparing for DRS, because of all the recycling stuff? It's all additional cost to the business.
I think that's right. And you know, we've learned over the years not to come up with sort of apocalyptic forecasts about how many thousand shops are going to close, because actually they tend not to come true. And we always try to be quite sort of factual and measured in what we say in response to these things. And I think we should be again today, because I think it is a mixed picture. But the cost, and ultimately with the living wage as well, about two-thirds of a billion extra costs have been announced for our sector. Those are the sort of cold hard facts here. And that's going to have an impact. And we need to, and I think that is going to mean that, yes, there are some stores that are marginal that might close down. There are certainly some stores that might be thinking about investing in some new services and new offers in their business, or knocking through to the next store premises because it's, you know, its lease is up or whatever else it might be, who might now be reticent about doing that because how are they going to afford the staffing to do that and all the other costs that come with it, the business rates and everything else. So I think that this is, you know, one of, as you said, all the various legislation we're facing into, I think that will mitigate against growth in the sector. I think the most likely thing actually is that some of the chains in our sector look at their estates and the stores that were looking a bit marginal. They decide they're going to shut down, and they just make that decision because they, you know, they can no longer with the new cost base make them work. And you know, that churn out I think will happen with some of those less profitable sites in the chains. I think, you know, independents, we know, A, they've got some more mitigations here, which may or may not be enough for them. And secondly, we know just how inventive independents are in terms of finding a way. So I certainly don't want to say it's going to lead to thousands of shop closures, because I think we've learned it's not a simple cause and effect. I think all those things combined make trading quite a lot tougher, particularly in an environment where customers are very, very cost conscious. It's very hard to pass on those costs to consumers. Although I think that will happen to some extent, and I think that you know, that's going to make it is going to make it a particularly challenging year ahead. And it's interesting, the growth forecasts from the government, they were not for a massive uptick, were they? It was a reasonably steady growth over a period of time, and I think that's going to, they weren't forecasting we're into the sunlit uplands anytime soon.
No, I think that's right. And I mean, our cost projections are broadly negative, and I'm really interested if anyone listening has their projections for next year on their profit and loss as to what that looks like, because we're always keen to feed that into government. So do let us know on that. So I mean, thank you, James, for that analysis. I apologize in advance for this final segue, but for retailers that are looking to be inventive, are looking to find ways around increased costs, one of the ways they can do that is by increasing their valuable relationships with suppliers and looking at new and innovative products. And the best way to do that is at our Innovation and NPD Showcase and hosted one-to-ones on the 20th of November at the London Stadium. You don't have to be a West Ham fan to attend, but it's a fantastic venue, and it's a really valuable event, especially when retailers are looking for new things to stock and new relationships to build. So go to the website acs.org.uk to book your place there. There are still some slots left. But until we see you again, please have a look at all the measures in the budget in the full briefing that you should have in your inbox if you're an ACS member. And do let us know how it affects you. Thanks very much.